Welcome to the Journey Together podcast with Joshua and Anna Gresham.
Disclaimer, if you're watching us right now, maybe you're not listening, but you're watching, we look a little sloppy today.
Wow.
Well, we do.
Speak for yourself.
I'm growing my hair out a little, so I have a baby mullet, and I just feel like
Define little.
It's like a little...
No.
What?
You're saying you're growing out your hair a little.
Yeah, a little bit of growth.
Oh. Are you going to keep it short?
I'm figuring it all out.
Oh, all right. I don't care.
I like change, and it's one thing in my life that I can change. So I grow and I cut and I grow and I cut. Right?
Speaking of change, what we are wanting to change is the topic of discussion today. Because now we don't have a title yet. Now you have a title because it's there in front of you. We're still working on that title in our heads because... we didn't know how we wanted to title this particularly, but one thing that we want to change is arguing over dumb things, over big things, and it's just a lot of arguing.
Over anything.
Over anything.
Arguing in general. I really hate arguing. It stresses me out. That's actually one of the titles that I've presented for today.
What was it again?
I really hate arguing. That was one title. Yeah, then yeah. Arguing stresses me out. That was another title. One of the other titles I thought about is stop saying stupid things that cause arguments.
We can't title it that.
Is that too
That's
much?
Way too long. I wanted to name it something aggressive and like kind
of... No,
like,
yours was way too... Yours was like... throw you in jail aggressive.
Well, it was, I want to strangle you or I want to make out with you.
Wow.
Yeah.
No, that I
strangle.
Stop it.
Or make
no,
out.
No, just stop all of that.
Hey, I read this past week. If you hug somebody for 7 seconds, if you hug your husband for 7 seconds, it increases.
Let's try it.
It increases their testosterone. See how nice that is. I already feel so strong. I feel like so stronger now. My testosterone just increased.
All right. Are we encouraging people to begin with a 7 second hug every single day?
Every single minute.
Let's talk
we
about
should
this.
Hug for seven
okay.
seconds.
This conversation about arguing, and I know we're kind of starting off lighthearted, but to be frank, a merry heart does good like a medicine. The joy of the Lord is your strength. I'm going to go through all of these joy scriptures. Count it all joy. We have righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
When you're living in strife and arguing in your house, whether it's with your spouse, with your kids, and it's this pattern that you have developed where everything is a heavy conversation, or it seems like, let's do broad strokes here, everything is an argument.
Everything isn't awesome.
Then I do believe that for us, we're kind of starting out lighthearted. In order for us to take a step back from our situation, take a deep breath, have a 7 second hug with your spouse or your teenager. Listen, you may have to hug that teenager or child.
Or 10 seconds. I'll take 10 second hugs.
But we're trying to change the pattern of the arguing that's going on through today's podcast, that there is one step. We're going to give multiple steps and multiple examples, but it might just be one that you go, I'm going to start with this, and God, I'm going to commit this to you. Wake up to it, to what's going on, and realize, I do want to change this.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, for sure.
Sometimes we get in these patterns, and we're just arguing and arguing and arguing, or there's strife, and strife is a spirit that Satan uses to attack us. Why? Because he hates your guts. And he doesn't want you to live in this house filled with joy and laughter.
Yeah.
And I'm sick and tired of it.
I'm glad you're sick and tired
Thank
of it.
You.
I think both need to be sick and tired of it. Without pointing fingers as if one's more the culprit than the other. That's really key. And I think another big factor of, and we've heard this time and time again, so the other big factor of trying to cease the arguing or prevent it, is also hearing what the other person is saying and then choosing to say, all right, is this really worth trying to fix, correct, stand on the problem, be right, or whatever? Does it really matter? Or maybe even to let the person talk for a longer bit before you jump in just to say, whoa, I don't like this, or I don't like how you're saying this, or whatever. Like, let them just talk it out. Sometimes it might be an actual, like, conversation that needs to be had versus just kind of like this, you know, quick jump in and correct or fix.
All right, so let's break down that conversation, because I feel like these are things that you and I have been walking through. You guys...
We don't argue. Hold on, come out. We don't argue. You and I are perfect.
Someone's going to punch you in the face.
Is that you right
no,
now?
No, for saying that, because people get so aggravated.
Funny.
I know, you can't even joke about that in a podcast.
Wow,
like
we're
this.
About to argue right now.
No, we're not.
I was just kidding.
I know, but you can't say stuff like that, because then people are like, oh my gosh, I want to punch that guy in the face.
They know for a fact that I was joking.
The
There's
whole reason,
no way.
I was getting ready to say the whole reason we're doing this podcast.
I know, that's why I jumped in and said
because
that.
Because I feel like you and I have had a season of just these it's like error in our communication. You know, whenever you're looking something up and it says error, I feel like that we're looking things up in life and we just keep getting error on both sides.
Your internet cognitivity is
yes.
not working.
Connectivity. The connectivity is not there.
Cognitivity.
Maybe,
I like that word too, though. It's
maybe
not a real
that
word,
but. You all are recognizing that we're not connecting here and we need to wake up to this. So I love what you just said, because these are things we've been talking about. First, are you listening? Are you actively listening and connecting with the individual to hear what they're saying, that you truly care? Jesus was full of compassion and he cared. God cares. God listens. God hears. We continually hear about the Lord listening and hearing and walking through this. But then in the same breath, because we take ownership for this.
Right.
And this is something that I evaluate in myself, is the question, am I being too sensitive? Is this something that I really need to address? Or am I just being too sensitive because I'm either tired, hungry, hormonal, it's been a stressful week, life can be like a pressure cooker at times and steam's wanting to come off. And so you just, often that steam rolls off on the person who's closest to you. And I think evaluating if you're just being too sensitive about things, and these are things that you need to talk to the Lord about, which we'll go to that little segment here in a few minutes. I like what you said. The first part of this is that ownership of, am I listening? And also, am I too sensitive with this? Am I wearing my heart on my sleeve? Is this something that I need to check my own heart and make sure that I care, but then also that I'm not just in a funk myself that I need to come out of, right?
Sure.
I think often because of the world we live in, everything right now is category 5.
Mach 10.
Yeah. It's like everything in life is a category 5 hurricane. And my conversation, I think, with you, with the Lord, and talking about these little arguments, if we live in category 5 hurricane mentality, then we'll live anxious, worried, and fear. You're going to find yourself where everything's an issue, where you're constantly in a defense mode, right?
Sure.
And not that we don't deal with category 5 hurricane situations, and it's hard. But you guys, at some point, we're going to have to get to the place where we trust God, we believe God, we start to use wisdom and walk through what this looks like to not continually live on the defense and like everything is a category 5 issue.
Well, I think because of what you're saying, surrounding us, there's so many different topics and polarizing that's taking place with all the different things in our lives and even at work. And there's some people who are able to do this better than others, but that is taking things not so seriously. Whereas as if everything is so serious and so hard and so complicated and so overwhelming and you just, oh my God, and it's like everything is so hard. And that's where you've got to be careful that that you don't bring this into the marriage and to the point where just it's like boiling point.
Or to
You're
your
a pressure
children,
cooker.
Right? With your kids.
Well, sure.
With
we shouldn't
your
be
friends. I mean,
yeah, our reactions to our own children and those things, Like the other day, obviously, we got new carpet. We were so excited. We have new carpet. And we've told our children, we've threatened all of their lives with the carpet.
This is true. Yeah.
And
four kids, carpet, teenagers.
When you spend the money on new carpet, oh gosh, there is definitely this, keep it pristine and perfect. So my daughter painted her toenails. And I know where you're all thinking. Oh,
red.
My gosh.
Red.
Yeah, red on top of it. With our brownish car. It's like a gray, brown, multicolor.
It's not red. We did not buy red carpet.
But it's not dark either.
No.
So anyway, so she somehow, she trips on the steps. And her toenail polish was not dry just yet. So she starts freaking out because she knows immediately dad or mom is going to be highly upset. So, you know, immediately I thought, okay, I don't want her to be right in this. That's what I thought. I thought, okay, I don't want to overwhelm my daughter. She's already overwhelmed. She's crying hysterically.
Did you know she came to me first?
No, I didn't know that.
I was in the restroom because we all know that moms, you have no private time in the restroom. Right. I mean, like just...
Miss Craig.
And I looked at her and I was super chill. And I go, hey, it's going to be okay. Go talk to your dad. That's what I did.
Hold on. Let me ask the question.
I did. I was really chilled. I told her to go
find you. Because
you
knew that I was going to be the one that had to fix
it? No. Yes.
Yeah.
But I sent her to you. I was proud that I was chill. Then I sent her to you and you were chill.
I am proud that you're chill.
Hey, up top for chill parenting. What? Let's celebrate it.
Please. All right. Anyway, so I just knew that in that moment, it was like, okay, I don't want to be this way. And I want to show grace. And I want to be full of love and compassion. It was an accident. She obviously didn't do it on purpose. So like I evaluated fairly quickly. And that's what I'm saying for us, evaluating the heart behind. And we've talked about this for multiple podcasts of just knowing the heart behind the conversation that your spouse loves you, your spouse is for you.
Yeah.
And the intentional, it's different if things are intentional, if the emotions are intentional as far as like, I'm coming at you. Sometimes that can happen, and that's a whole other topic we can discuss. But with the moment with my daughter, I knew that I didn't want to portray that Mach 10, Category 5 level of conversation. So I was able to get it out. I know I had a trick up my sleeve. I knew how to get it out.
Everybody the trick.
I've been taught a long time ago that aerosol hairspray actually solves a lot of things. And it's so weird. And so I took a butter knife and I was able to slightly pick up all the dry pieces that are still a little jelly. And then I sprayed that aerosol, has to be aerosol, not pump, aerosol hairspray, and then I would dab it with a clean washcloth, and I just kept dabbing, till finally it just came up. So I knew I could get it out. Immediately, my daughter was overjoyed and thrilled, and I gave her a big hug, and I told her, don't worry about it. Gresham's do not stand on the problem. We stand on the solution, and that was a life lesson. So the same goes for in marriage of not overreacting to maybe the level that they're reacting in the moment. Let's you be the resolver. You choose to say, you know what? I'm not going to talk this way, or I don't want to be at this elevated state where it just continues to just, you know,
climb.
Let's stop and let's reevaluate what's important.
Don't you think that someone is going to have to make the decision to
someone does yes
to get real. I like that you all might not like this verbiage, but to get spiritual and allow the Holy Spirit to guide your actions and your words. And I often feel that, because these are accidents, things happen in life that sometimes are so small but can have such an impact on our day.
Yeah.
And if we've spent time with the Lord in His presence and allowing the Holy Spirit to minister to us. You know, when you come out of that time, Jesus, when He came out of the wilderness in Luke chapter 4, it says He was full of the Holy Spirit, right? He was actually led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness. He came out, He'd been fasting. It's a long time. I mean, man was hungry, all right? This is challenging. And it wasn't that He came out and then everything was perfect. No, He came out and was immediately attacked by Satan. three times. And then in three different opportunities, I'm so thankful that Jesus spoke the word of God, that he showed us how to stand against the attack of the enemy. And I feel like the same for us. Sometimes we're going through seasons that have been challenging, that we're being pruned, that God's refining us, that maybe we come out going, oh my gosh, Lord, this was tough, but you saw me through. And then you would really just like it to be chill, but something still comes up because we live in a fallen state world. And we do have to be on guard, but it's not against your spouse or your kids. It's against the attack of Satan. It's against Satan trying to come in and still kill you and destroy your joy any which way he can, right? And you guys, the devil's the real hit enemy here. I know we can say that 100 million times, but at some point we're going to have to wake up to it. Your kids aren't the enemy. Your spouse isn't the enemy. Your neighbor's not the enemy. Your coworkers aren't the enemy. Satan is our adversary.
Yeah.
The accuser of the brethren. And what I said stands. He does hate your guts, but we have victory over him through the name of Jesus. And that's a healthy reminder every day when it comes to how we love others and even how we love ourselves with arguments and petty things that come up. Yeah. There's a scripture that I love that I was thinking about kind of what this looks like. We like visual imagery, you and I, when it comes to picturing just life and things. And I feel like we're like that. So Proverbs 17:14, you want to read it?
Sure. In the Amplified Bible, and my wife prefers the classic edition.
I do.
The beginning of strife is as when water first trickles from a crack in a dam. Therefore, stop contention before it becomes worse and quarreling breaks out.
I really like that visual.
Yeah, it's that small moment.
And you can then picture a dam and then a little tiny crack. And here is the beginning of strife leaking in your house.
Yeah.
And it's that trickle where it just starts to stir up and get worked up. And I think you get in this flow. But before you know it, if you do not put a stop, and that's our responsibility. It's what we've been talking about, is it is my responsibility to be a maker of peace. Right?
Mm-hmm.
This is a part of my inheritance in God's kingdom, is to make peace. What is a peacemaker? It is a person who makes peace.
Then
that means I have a responsibility in the middle of this,
mm-hmm,
to love higher, love greater, to not have to be right. You said that in the beginning.
Yeah.
To apologize and take the high road, even when it seems like I am right. Do you know what I mean? Being right and trying to win an argument doesn't mean you win. I feel like actually when you find yourself in those places, you can find yourself in a position of pride. And that's an ugly place to be.
Yeah, I mean, that's never good. We know that. Pride before the fall, for sure. Again, this is where we continue to beat the drum. And that is, this is your spouse. This is who you've chosen to do life with for the rest of your life. And why would you want to bring any harm to that individual? Why would you not want to just make out with them all day long and hold them, to love on them, to encourage them, to help them, to serve them? All of those things, you should want to do that all the time.
Okay, I have been talking to quite a few couples, people that have been married for a long time. In these last few months, they're like, oh my gosh, Anna, we've been fighting over the dumbest things. And I go, I know, Joshua and I feel like we found ourselves in that. And it's been through these growing seasons, these stretching seasons. And it has been that disconnect over, it's like we're saying the same thing, but then not connecting on the same thing. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And if that's been you, I think I first just want to say you're not alone.
Yeah, you and I don't fight on polar opposites of north and south. Like, we're not fighting because, like, our arguing.
Oh, right. Yeah, it's not
is
like
an extreme that I'm like, I am right and you are wrong. Like, it's not a moral basis type of, it's not a moral like arguing or argument.
Make it or break it deals.
Yeah, it's not like I believe the kids should do this or you know, it's not, it's never that. It's always one click off. Just one, max two things that are just off a little bit. It's like, hold on, tell me, it's a misunderstanding. It's just kind of like, hold on, you're saying what now? No, that's not what
I'm
saying.
I don't feel like you hear me. Yeah. I don't feel like you get it. That is Proverbs 17:14, though. It's that little trickle in the dam of your life of where you're just like, all right, God, before you know it, it's overwhelming. And you do have to have that moment where the pattern, where you plug it up, right? Where you just say, yeah. God, I need you to heal this. I need you to seal it by the Holy Spirit. I am sick and tired of this. Something has to change. You said at the beginning, well, who's going to change? It's going to be you.
Yeah, you have to start with yourself.
You start with you.
It's not your responsibility to change the other person.
Well, and you can't.
You can be the example of the change. Yeah. And then on top of it, in your prayer time, God can change man's heart, not man can't change man's heart.
So we're talking about you're not alone in this, but then also in operating what this looks like of like, all right, God, I want us to come together and connect. I don't want to argue with my family members, kids. You fill in the blank of where you're at with this. And where the Lord took me was James chapter 4.
Right.
And we've been talking about this actually a lot over this past month.
Mm-hmm.
Because whenever we get into arguments, I can get anxiety over it very quickly. It just overwhelms me because I feel like I don't want to dishonor God in my marriage. I don't want to fight. I don't want to ruin part of a good day due to stupid conversation that, I mean, I've looked at you and I'm like, can we please press the reset button? This is the dumbest fight we've ever had. And I'm thankful that we do press that reset button and move on. But also I realized that I want to grow in how I make peace.
Right. Yeah. This is a learning.
It is learning.
I've been quoting a lot of people lately. We heard this at a conference that we were at with Pastor Mark Batterson in DC there. And he said, you can't have a comeback without a setback. And so it's sometimes there's a setback because of what we're doing, but it's like, but we're moving forward. We're not choosing to stay, it's just to be at the setback. And that's where you're going to just stay. And then you end up with stagnation, you know. I don't want a stagnant pond. I want moving. I want flowing. I want a stream of flow. So for all of us that are dealing with these types of particular arguments, maybe there is a root. I don't know. Maybe there is something that needs to be plucked out or discovered to talk about in a greater measure of insecurities or pride or whatever. I don't know for your particular instance, but it is by no means prejudice. It is.
Yeah.
It goes from all ages to any year of marriage, whether it's your first year of marriage or whether it's your 50th year. This is where you've got to be quick to discuss it, lay it out, and then say, okay, why is this happening? Is there some external factors that are at play? Sure. I know that there's a lot of things. We've had our conversations when it comes to the workload, the stress, the whatever, you know, on the day-to-day, it could be the kid stress moment. It might need a reset of like, hey, I need a vacation. I never want to have, and we've said this a lot, and I've preached it a lot, where I don't live for vacation, okay? I don't live for vacation where it's like, oh, all I need is a week off. So be careful with that, because I don't want anyone living as if I work for the vacation. No. I don't work for the vacation. Like, I don't have to have a vacation.
Yeah.
Because I am always in a restful state of being, and that's important. Mental health and all those things that are hot topics right now, I just want you to know that you can have that. And we've talked about it again, being grateful, that gratitude position and posture is really important. But I don't want us to get overwhelmed with the idea that you have to have vacation. However, back to the what I was making my point is if you need a vacation because you just need a reset. So like getting away from the kids, whether it's, hey, husband, if the core reason why there's some arguing, you know, the little clicks here and there, you know, right off from you're always in agreement to just a few moments away, you're not. This is where it's like, all right, is it because you're overwhelmed because the kids are all over you all day? Well, then now it's like, all right, when I get home or when you both get home, however, give that person space to go do what they need to do with the kids or without the kids, either one. And then that's going to help with some of this. So even with like de-stressing from work, how are you going to do it? Find some healthy ways to do it.
I think what you're saying to pair with that is it could be in your marriage that your spouse needs some intentional time with you. So that little trip is a trip where it's not a heavy trip where you discuss major things and life happenings to the point where you feel like you're going to argue again. It's where you say, hey, we're going to take a night and have fun and romance each other. Like you set out some expectations of what that looks like. If you're finding yourself where you're arguing because, like you said, there's some things that are missing here, you're out of order in your house, then it's time to really ask the Holy Spirit what that looks like. Ask your spouse what they need from you. And I love the water picture here of just a fresh flow of living water. This is why we continually need to be refilled, that infilling of the Holy Spirit flowing freshly through us, mm-hmm. because the Holy Spirit will show us these things in our marriage and our home of what we need. And then he'll refresh us, help our words, help our actions. And James, I'm going to read the very last scripture first of James chapter 4:17. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Mm. That's where at some point of that accountability, when it comes to arguing and strife and what this looks like, it could be that the Lord's already given you a plan and you're just not doing it. And, or you're carrying around the weights and the cares and the worries, and it's become where you are trusting in you more than you're trusting in God. And if you know to give those things to God, or if you have put idols before God, it's sin. If you're going to church regularly hearing the word of God, and yet you're still in a place of contention and you're not willing to lay your will down of not being right all the time, it's sin. And those are at times hard wake-up calls. But don't you think it's a good wake-up call?
Yeah.
Especially with your personality and your growth and character.
Yeah.
All right, verse 1. Now let's go to verse 1 of James 4. And I would encourage you guys, read James 4 this week. Read it. 17 verses. The little title in my Bible above this says, Pride Promotes Strife.
Yeah.
So where do wars and fights come from among you? And he's talking to Christians here. So he's talking to believers that are having fights and wars amongst themselves. Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and you do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. These are hard words. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. Now we're talking about our prayer life. So, and it goes on to talk about you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. Are you fighting because it's all about you right now? And you're in a place of selfish ambition or in a place of pride where sometimes people just fight to fight. This is the culture they grow up in and they've yet to see that destructive cycle broken out of their lives. But then also sometimes we argue because you are living in a place of pride where which I think that comes from a place of insecurity, of feeling like I am right. Right?
Yeah. I think you just said something that I thought it's one of those sayings that, you know, you hear people say, you said fight to fight. Well, you know, there's a saying that's fight or flight.
Yeah.
So that there's not like a middle ground. And that's where the middle ground is that we're striving for. And that's what we're talking about. That idea of fight or flight. Well, that's not healthy in a marriage. If that's the notion that people find themselves in of like, I'm in this, that's a really weird state of thinking of like, I'm either a fighter or I'm a flighter. I run away from the problem. It's like, well, hold on, time out. Neither of those are healthy.
No, you're right. They're not.
No.
But that's what we've been taught.
Yeah.
And it's all about us.
Right.
What is God? What is God saying about what's going on in these conversations? Maybe we just take a moment and ask him,
yeah,
God, what do you want to do right now in these conversations? I need help. You all, I've had so many times when you and I have had arguments where I said, Lord, I am so sorry for saying something stupid. Help me to stop saying stupid things. Like, have an honest conversation with the Lord about your life. He loves when we're honest with him. He's continually encouraging us to be honest. So if we walk through this conversation of evaluation, what I love so much in verse 6, but he gives more grace. You all, there's abundant grace. You don't have to live this way. If you're in that place where you're like, oh my gosh, this is it. Is this what my life's going to look like? No, that is a lie from Satan. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. I believe this first part in all of this, we've had a lot of first parts during this podcast, but it really is humbling yourself before the Lord.
Yeah. So, okay. I want to kind of just say just a few things and we've got to wrap this up. I can't remember if, I know we just did the podcast Trust or Fall. Did in that podcast, did I mention the practical step? Because you were talking about the infilling of the Holy Spirit, the infilling of God's.
Yeah.
Yeah. But in this particular one, a practical step is being so empty. We need to fill each other up. But did I give the practical step of having people write down what fills them?
Yes, you did. That was the last podcast.
Okay, that's
and
what
I had
thought.
A few people reach out and say they were going to do it, which is a great action plan.
I think it's a healthy step of, again, you recognize your source is God, 100%. But knowing that, that builds that trust in a relationship where you say, I'm going to write down what fills my tank, what empties my tank, and then switch the list to each other so that you can say, I want to be someone who takes on helping that process of filling our spouse's tank. So that helps with saying, hey, I'm with you, I'm for you, I trust you, you trust me. Like, we're here for one another.
Okay, so let's talk about
your hands are freezing,
I know,
by the way.
I know, I'm very hungry right now. I need to eat. So I
think that makes your hands cold?
I need to like warm my body up with food.
All right, go ahead.
So let's apply this. Let's do what we do, okay, with these things. So whenever I begin to evaluate myself and walk through that process of what fills you up, but also what I need to correct in my own life, when it's come to arguing in these little spats, first, I come to that place of repentance before God of like, hey, God, I'm sorry. I really need your help. Show me what to do, right? That is where we are making that point of repentance because it truly does bring a refreshing in your life from the Lord. But then I go, all right, Anna, you know, whenever you do A, B, and C, when you say all of these things, that it overwhelms Josh and it does not fill his cup. And I can't tell you how many times I've written in my journal, Anna, just be quiet and listen. Just to give myself that pep talk that I can't. And then, you know, I can operate from the fruit of the Holy Spirit and have self-control when it comes to these conversations. Then I've put on, also, show Joshua how much you love him with your words. Show him encouragement. Write out those words of gratitude for him. And I try to get real intentional with this. And then the third thing that I have put down, because I know this fills your cup, is to touch you more, is to like, hey, and I know this sounds weird to have to remind yourself, I've got four kids, we've got a lot going on. I think it's good to say, hey, you need to make sure that you are, I mean, one whole year I put for one of my goals, Anna, make out with Josh more, you know? Like, I think there's that intentionality writing these things out. Why? Because it's going to just help that you grow in your friendship. When you grow in your friendship and how you love each other and how you trust each other, these arguments you can work through much faster, or you can recognize it's just not worth it.
Yeah.
Do you agree with that?
Yeah. I think it's also being, I am a firm believer that I'm not trying to cover over the issues by saying ignoring them, or by what I'm about to suggest is have more fun with one another. But I'm not, there's going to be arguments, but I think that that's where you're missing out on wanting to have fun with one another and not be so on edge all the time. And I know some of you, maybe you've gotten to the place where it's just not been fun for a long time.
Yeah.
And it's hard. And it is going to be a longer uphill battle. But it is so imperative that you be intentional to have fun with one another and to say, I want to have fun tonight. It is sad, though, if you do get on the date with the intention of being fun and then you get into an argument. And that is hard. We've been there before. I know exactly what that's like. It's like, I just wanted to have a fun evening. Why are we talking about this? And that's where I would say there's still a stem of something here that's holding on. And you might need to have a harder conversation saying, why is it that this is happening? Why is it? Like, begin to ask all the deep questions. And I'm not talking about like childhood trauma or something like that, but I am talking about like, what is it? What is this stemming from?
Are you holding something against me?
Yeah. That we can't just be enjoying our time together.
If that happens on a date or on a walk or on a fun thing, let's give them what do you do? Because I feel like we've all gone through that. I think this is where James 4 is so valuable. You recognize, for me, I'm going to answer this question, even though I just asked you what to do, is your spouse or your child is not the enemy. You got to regroup. You got to bounce fast. Do you know what I mean? You forgive quickly. You have that moment of repentance. And then you go in and say, all right, God, I'm going to humble myself before you. I'm going to work through this. And if we walk through James 4 of what it says, recognize the enemy, pray. Maybe you're not asking big enough for your family, for your spouse, for yourself, or maybe you're not asking more specific. Are you even praying for your spouse and your kids? Yeah. Let's start there. Then humble yourself before God, okay? Ask for more grace. Ask for an abundant grace. Submit yourself to God in those moments so you don't feel like you have to be right. Resist Satan. Satan, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. Now, you're not rebuking your spouse in Jesus' name in front of their face or your kids. That's weird and harsh. This is an inside where you go, Satan, I rebuke you. You cannot steal this moment. You're not going to steal this day. It doesn't belong to you. Then you go in and it talks about really humbling yourself before the Lord of, God, get all this off of me. Like, I actually care. Then God lifts you up. Then he goes on in verse 11 where he says, don't speak evil against them. Mm-hmm. You got to change your words. Then if you continue going on, then it says, don't worry about tomorrow. Then don't start borrowing trouble for something else, right? Break the pattern where then you don't bring in another issue where it just compiles, because that's essentially what happens on a date or on these things. And just make a decision. It's under the blood, right? And we're going to move forward.
Yeah. Let me say this, and we'll wrap it up here. I know you may have been listening this whole time, and you're thinking, give me that solution, that 2 + 2 = 4 solution. If it was that easy, she and I would not be doing this podcast, and we would be millionaires sitting on an island right now with our yacht in front of us.
Wow.
Because we would have the solution to fix the marriage. There are going to be moments, and the enemy wants to fight this, and it's complicated, it's chaotic, it's chaos. But acknowledging that first of saying, okay, time out. You're my helpmate. You're the best thing. I want to love you. I want to serve you. And you both have that attitude. That changes it. If you've let in the enemy to cause even more issues and chaos, then you've opened up the door to sin and you've allowed sin to come in. That's a whole different topic than today. We're talking about the skim surface arguing before it breaches that, oh my gosh, I can't believe you did this in our marriage. Okay, so that's a completely different topic. But this is the two clicks off from, we're believing the same thing, but we got just two little things off, okay? I don't want it to continue to tick down to the point where you're polar opposites, and now you're thinking about hurting one another through sin and allowing the power of sin in your marriage.
Yeah, that's right.
So stop that now, okay? But I know you've been listening, you're like, give me that two-step plan. I don't have that. But what I do have is the encouraging factor that you two stood at an altar together and made a covenant before God and said, hey, God, you are why we are married and why we're getting married. And you're the one who's going to check on us and you're the one who's for us. So God, we're coming to you for an answer for this. So allow God to supernaturally give you that answer that far exceeds your understanding or anything that you thought was possible. It could be such a simple solution and you need to do that. Okay. So go before the Father. Yeah. Don't go before Anna and Josh. Okay. We are not accountable to your marriage. Okay. So we've always said it, if you have no authority, then you have no influence. Okay. God has the authority over your marriage. Therefore he has the influence in your marriage. So you need to go to him and allow him to influence your marriage. All right.
That was beautiful. That was it. That was awesome. I want to love you as Jesus loves me. And even before we started this podcast, we both said this is going to be pretty conversational because I believe this is a conversation to have with the Lord. I'm thankful you were having this conversation with us. And you said it's by the power of the Holy Spirit that he's going to show you these things and what to do. The same way the Holy Spirit told me, hey, Anna, it's time to be quiet for a season. You've been talking too much. Praise God for those moments. Or he's just going to do that step by step, showing you how to be a maker of peace, showing you to have fun, showing you if you're sensitive, walking through his word and recognizing what love is. The Holy Spirit, he's just going to show you as you do it.
Yeah.
You're a doer of the word, and we're cheering your marriage on. God's cheering your marriage on. I really love that picture that you just gave everybody because that's it.
Yeah.
God's got grace for you today, and his mercies are new every morning for a reason.
So if you like this podcast and helped you out, and you're my great-great-grandchild and you're listening, I'm so thankful that you listened today. Obadiah.
Obadiah.
You're amazing. Hey, like, subscribe, share it with someone, and hopefully we're going to come up with a great title. I'm thinking, check yourself before you wreck yourself.
That's it.
That's
probably, put a stamp on it.
Probably not
put
it.
Put a right. stamp on it.
You guys have a great day. We'll see you later.